KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Pastor Philip DeCourcy joins us. He's the senior pastor of Kindred Community Church and the teaching pastor you hear on Know the Truth. If you're a regular KLYT listener, that's 2:30 overnight for those night owls. But remember, you also hear Pastor DeCourcy's Minute of Truth throughout the day at various times. And Pastor Philip, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through one of your latest projects.
Steve, thank you. I'm glad to join you. Appreciate all that you do for the advancement of God's kingdom. I know you're on the campus of Calvary Church there in Albuquerque, and some years ago I got to meet Pastor Heitzig over dinner, one and done kind of thing, but his ministry continues to benefit me and others, so it's a joy to join you and the listeners.
Yeah, well, our topic today essentially is heaven. Now, that's because of a new book you've written, Life After Life, Exploring the Bible's Wonderful Promises About Heaven and Eternity. And actually, you and I off the air spoke a little bit, Pastor Philip, and to cover everything that's covered in this book, we're not going to have the time today. However, this will be a great teaser, and it'll a conversation that I hope will bring people to the place where they go and find their favorite books. Again, it's Life After Life, Exploring the Bible's Wonderful Promises About Heaven and Eternity. Now, Pastor Philip, you've been teaching, you know, this is, you know, this book isn't your first rodeo. You've been teaching for quite some time. What inspired you to take the time to write Life After Life?
I appreciate that question. I do hope their broadcast just whets people's appetite, but like when you go to Costco, right, you get the sampler. Well, here we go. I hope that by the time they're done, they'll buy the book. It's coming out actually officially in the 20th of January. It can be bought on Amazon or through our ministry at KTT. But, you know, there are several things that made me write the book. I've preached on heaven on and off, but in our church just a few years ago, I did an extended series on it. I think, Steve, several things playing into that. One, I'm not getting any younger, and so it's my future. And, you know, typically if you go somewhere to vacation, you try to find out a little bit more about where you're going, its customs, the sights and the sounds, and what you're going to enjoy, and what are the things to do. I haven't seen a lot of death in my family, or at least near family. Just in the last little years, my wife lost her father in Scotland, and I lost my mother in Northern Ireland. And I think it makes you think, hey, what's our loved ones doing? What's life after life? I'm a pastor, Steve, and I do hospital visiting. I care for the living and the dying. And, you know, heaven is such a comforting subject. 1 Thessalonians 4 about the rapture, being taken to heaven with Christ. Paul says, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. So there's that aspect. I want a book. I want a tool that I can put into the hands of God's people and even the unbelieving and help them find hope in Christ. And two other things would be, you know, the Bible is prophetic in nature. Probably about 25 to 30% of the Bible is forward looking, and some of it's to do with the first coming of Christ. A lot of it's to do with the second coming of Christ. And therefore, hey, God has given me his whole counsel. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But the Spirit of God has shown us. And so the Bible opens the door into the life to come. I don't need to go to, you know, the black arts. I don't need to get into, you know, contacting the dead. If I want to know the future, if I want to know about life beyond this life, the pure and unadulterated Word of God will do that for me. And then finally, you know, we'll talk a little bit about this, I'm sure. I've heard for years, you know, well, you can be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. I want to flip the script on that. I don't think that's true. C.S. Lewis, a fellow Belfast man, said those who thought most about the next life did the most in this life. And frankly, I think there's a materialism and a worldliness that has gripped the church. And we've got our heads down, looking at our feet, looking at what's in front of us. We're living for those things which are below. And the Bible tells us to look up and to look ahead and to allow the next life to shape this life. So I'm concerned about the lack of preaching and the lack of passion that is in the contemporary church. There's a lot of theologies out there. You know, the church brings the kingdom. We can have our best life now. And you go, no. It's life, true life after this life. And it's the thought of that that should shape. So I'll stop there. But those are some of the streams that kind of, you know, flowed into my thinking. And
yeah.
I'm excited about the book, and I hope it's a blessing to others.
Oh, I'm sure it is. You know, when I get to this first question we're going to dive into, I don't know how familiar you are with the CCM artist, maybe from the 80s and 90s, but Charlie Peacock wrote a song called Heaven is a Real Place. I think it speaks to, heaven as a destination. Can you speak more about that? You mentioned preparing to go on a vacation and be an awfully long vacation as we enjoy our time in eternity. We'll get more into that as well. But can you speak to the listener that maybe doesn't really think about that? Heaven is a destination.
Yeah, heaven is a place. You know, there's a lot of theory out there. You know, heaven is a state of mind. Heaven is an experience. But Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's a place. The Bible talks about the third heaven. There's a heaven we see by day, there's a heaven we see by night, and there's a heaven we see by faith. The Bible talks about heaven being up there. God is there. Christ is there. The heavenly hosts are there. The spirits of the redeemed are there. So heaven is a place, and it's a prepared place for a prepared people, for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, heaven will be down here, as the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven in Revelation 20 to 22, a new heaven and a new earth is created. And I think we've got to burst this idea that, you know, heaven's ultimately a bodiless experience. It's an ethereal thing. It's not. We will be in a resurrected body on a new earth, a real planet, and we will be back in Eden prior to the fall, walking with God, enjoying Him, worshiping Him, and along with Him, exercising dominion over this new world, which is so exciting. We'll do what we do here. We'll work. We'll have leisure. We will explore. We will create. And so I think it's important that we get rid of this Greek idea that heaven is, you know, this bodiless, endless, ethereal experience. The caricature of the angel with the harp on the cloud. Well, presently our loved ones are without bodies, but ultimately they will be given bodies at the resurrection, and what's going on above us will come down upon a new heaven and a new earth. And C.S. Lewis, to quote him once again, he said, of all the world's religions, Christianity is the most materialistic. And what he meant by that is Christianity ends up with, you know, a real planet with us in a real body. And it's a touch and a taste and a see experience that will go on and on. So in that sense, heaven is a destination. It's an end. I'm in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. There's a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow road that's hard and few that find it, but it leads to life. And so in that sense, life is a destination. And frankly, if you're listening today, life is a journey, and it's going to end either at one or two destinations, heaven or hell. And I would encourage our listeners to make sure they've closed in with God's offer of mercy. But Steve, I'd like us to go on and talk about the fact that heaven's not just a destination. It's more than that.
Well, you know, as we walk through some of this, and we're close to a break, before we go to a break, I'd like to throw some more back to you. As far as, you know, maybe being too heavenly minded, we can be no earthly good. You know, as I grow older and get more gray hair, and I've been in ministry for decades, I have to be transparent. And I think I have been on the air even with the listener to say, you know, I mean, we live, you know, the earth is we live in a fallen world. And I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and, you know, things are not good. You know, in our communities, you know, whether we're talking about legislation in the roundhouse or you know, the things that trap all of us and get our attention, whether it's crime or homelessness or the hungry. And we, you know, I often grow weary and you know, say what so many of us have said over the years, Maranatha, you know. However, I've also said, you know, I need to get my mind where it needs to be. What I need is a t-shirt that says, come Jesus, come, ... But then on the back of the shirt, it says, but there's work to be done. And as we get distracted by the things of this world, and they can really weigh on us. And, you know, heaven is our, as a Christian who believes in Jesus and his finished work on the cross and in his resurrection, you know, that is our hope. I'm preaching to the pastor. That is our hope.
That's all right, I'm listening. I'm saying amen.
That is our hope. That is our confident expectation. So can you speak to the, and then in our next segment, I want to really speak more at those who don't know Christ, who don't understand what we're talking about. But for those who do, how to balance that weariness that we feel here with where we're headed.
Sure. And the Bible does strike that balance. This is the short and ugly life, and when we forget that, we get ourselves into trouble. We are not promised heaven on earth, and so we will deal with trials and troubles and tears. That doesn't mean we're to kind of disengage from life and to only think of the life to come. In fact, the opposite. Those, as we've said, those who did the most in this life are those who thought most about the next. Colossians 3, the opening chapter in my book, where I talk about heaven can't wait. The thought of heaven should drive us and define us right now. We're to set our affection and our thoughts on things above, not on things below. Philippians 3:20, we are citizens of heaven. Philippi was an outpost of Rome, 800 miles from the imperial city. But if you went to Philippi, its architecture, its customs, its dress, its laws were Roman. And Paul takes that and he says to the church in Philippi, that's what we are. We're an outpost of the kingdom of heaven. And when people encounter us, they encounter people who are defined by another kingdom and by another king. And so the Bible takes the thought of our future life and brings it down to earth and tells the Christian, you know, let the thought of heaven help you deal with your suffering, because your present suffering is not to be compared with the glory that is to come. Let heaven drive your praying where we pray your kingdom come. Let heaven define your material spending and stewardship, where you make sure you lay up treasure in heaven, not just treasure on the earth. Matthew 5:12, if you're being persecuted, remember that great will your reward be in heaven. And I could go on, Steve, but that's a sample of the fact that the thought of heaven is the carrot on the end of the stick. And when we're feeling discouraged, like you talk about, and how do we keep going in this short, ugly life where at times truth is on the scaffold and wrong is on the throne, well, heaven helps us do that. It was heaven that helped the martyrs die victorious death. It was heaven that drove missionaries across the world. There's a quote I have in my book, and I'll stop here. There was a great Puritan called Richard Sibbes, and a friend of Richard Sibbes says this, and I want this to be true of me, and I want it to be true of you, Steve, and those who read my book. It was said of him, heaven was in him before he was in heaven.
Mm.
And I cannot, as a Christian, let the thought of heaven just hang out there. Well, when I get around to dying, I'll get around to thinking about heaven. No, heaven, the thought of heaven's not just for dying, it's for living.
I love that. Great words of encouragement from Pastor Philip DeCourcy. If you just tuned in, we're coming to the end of our first segment. We'll continue our conversation with the senior pastor of Kindred Community Church and the teaching pastor you hear on Know the Truth, as well as Minute of Truth here on KLYT. Which, by the way, I wanted to mention, if you're not a night owl and you're missing that at 2:30 overnight on KLYT, I'd encourage you to go to our website at klyt.fm. And go to the schedule. You'll find Pastor DeCourcy's Know the Truth. Click on that, and it'll take you right to their website, ktt.org, where you can hear the daily teaching there. Pastor Skip's message is coming on for the second time of the day, and you've already heard it in the morning. There's a great opportunity for you to, in podcast form, go to the website at ktt.org and catch up with Pastor DeCourcy, and you will not be sorry that you did. Pastor, can you stay with us through the break?
Sure, happy to.
Okay, we're going to come back from the break, and I'll let you know right now when we come back. If heaven is a mystery to you, if the path to get there is okay, I think I know this is what I've grown up understanding. We're going to share plain truth with you about how to be there. With us when we're in heaven. We'd love to have you with us, and we hope you'll stay with us on the other side of the break on ABQ Connect.
IT, this is ABQ Connect.
We continue our conversation with Pastor Philip DeCourcy. He's a senior pastor at Kindred Community Church and the teaching pastor you hear on Know the Truth right here on KLYT. We'd encourage you, if you miss it at 2:30 each weekday morning, to go to our website at klyt.fm. Click on the banner where you see Pastor DeCourcy on Know the Truth, and it'll take you right to their website, ktt.org, where you can hear the message daily. We're in the midst of a conversation talking about his latest book, Life After Life, exploring the Bible's wonderful promises about heaven and eternity. And we're well into our conversation. In this part of the conversation, Pastor Philip, we wanted to take time to speak directly to those who maybe don't really understand what is the path to heaven. And as we talked about it in the first segment, hopefully those who don't know Christ are hearing it and going, I want to be there, but I'm not sure I will. But there is a way to make sure.
Absolutely. That's one of the beautiful things about the gospel. God wants us to be sure about our eternal destiny and our eternal happiness. And the God who is in heaven and resides in heaven sent his son from heaven. And we've got that beautiful gospel verse that we can't hear enough, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the God of heaven who made this world, he loves this world, who has stopped loving him and has sinned against him and rebelled against him. But when we stopped loving him, God continued to love us and sent his son into the world, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that verse, we've got two destinies. There's a destiny where you perish and you get separated from God forever in conscious eternal punishment in hell. That's a hard truth, but Jesus taught it, and Jesus is the truth. And the other path is a path to life everlasting, and the deciding factor is to trust in the one who came from heaven. Look, Steve, if I want to get somewhere, I think the best way for me to get somewhere is to allow someone who lives there to take me.
Mm.
And that's what the gospel is about. If I want to get to heaven, the best way for me to get to heaven is to allow someone who lives there to take me. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, died on a cross for our sin, which is so important because, you see, the Bible says nothing that defiles will enter heaven. Heaven's a holy place, dwelt by a holy God, and we can't get there if we're sinful and fallen, which we are, and we need our sins forgiven. And we can't expunge the debt of our sin, but God can and has done in the death of his Son. And so if someone's listening today, on the authority of God's word, not in my wisdom or my opinion, you can know that you've got life eternal. In fact, 1 John 5:13 tells us that book was written that we might know that we have eternal life. And again, I repeat, if you want to get somewhere, the best way to get somewhere is to allow someone who lives there to take you. And my friend Jesus lives in heaven, and he wants you to live there with him, and he's willing to take you there if you'll put all your hope and trust in him. He said in John 14, I am the truth, and I am the life, and I am the way, and no man comes to the Father but by me.
Pastor Philip, you know, you spoke of judgment, and judgment in for those who don't have Christ, don't have that opportunity to enter into heaven, and instead end up in an eternity in hell. I think it does surprise some, maybe younger believers, maybe someone who's been walking with the Lord for quite some time, to hear that for us there is a judgment as well.
Yes, I deal with that in the book. It's a forgotten doctrine, the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. Thankfully, my sin won't be judged, because my sin was judged at the cross. The handwriting against me was nailed to the cross, according to Colossians. So while my sin will not be judged, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. My service will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5, 9-10 talks about that, how we must all appear. And the word in the Greek there, appear, means our lives will be made manifest. We will be made manifest at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ was a Greek word for bema. It was a raised platform where umpires adjudicated races and where crowns were handed out to the winners. And Paul is saying, look, life's a race. And at the end of that race, Jesus is going to adjudicate how we ran our race. Did we run with enthusiasm? Did we stay in the lane of God's will? Did we do what we needed to do? And hopefully we meet with his approval. And we receive rewards, that incorruptible crowns, responsibilities in the millennial kingdom, perhaps an ability to radiate God's glory, the well done of Christ. And we want that, and we run so as to win, according to 1 Corinthians 9. So I think we need to remember, I have a statement in that chapter, Steve, that faith alone in Christ will get us to heaven, but works will determine what we get when we get to heaven. And I think we forget that. And that, if that's true, that means that every day must be redeemed. All our spiritual gifts must be developed and applied fully so that we live the life that God has ordained for us, the works which he ordained for us to do. Every failure is monumental, because when I fail to live up to my potential, and I sin and I disobey and I step back in my walk with God, that's eternal loss. Not the loss of salvation, but the loss of Christ's approval, the loss of reward, the loss of authority in the kingdom to come. And so we need to rediscover that doctrine. And I have a whole chapter in the book about that. There's a scene at the beginning of the movie Gladiator, the first one, and Maximus is rallying the Roman legions to go to war against the barbarians, and he makes this statement: "What you do today will echo out into eternity." And while he was no Christian theologian, I'm going to borrow those words, and they certainly are biblical, in the sense that what I do today, Steve, or what I don't do today, will meet me in eternity. And so I've got to run us to win. Or as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him.
Amen. You know, as you walk through that, I imagine those asking the question, how might we make sure that that those things that we do echo into eternity are things that would be pleasing to the Lord and in His will. And, you know, I can't help but to think of Jerry Bridges' book that I read years ago, The Pursuit of Holiness. And, you know, essentially what I got from that book, Pastor Philip, is time in the Word of God and how much of an, you know, as men, we will, you know, we'll choose poorly. But when, you know, and Paul even said, it's not me, but it's the Spirit, it's the Lord in me, that does these good things. And when we're spending time in the Word of God that is alive and active, cutting to bone and marrow, it's going to well prepare us for our heavenly home. Any thoughts?
Yeah, and I think there's an easy measure of that. If you want to be found pleasing to God, then do the things that please God.
Amen.
We know that Jesus, God is well pleased with Jesus, so let's love Jesus, follow Jesus, serve Jesus. You say God wrote His word and seeks for us to obey it, so that's a way to please Him. Jesus loves the church and gave Himself for her. So as we love the church and serve the church, that's another way to please Him. God loved the world and sent the Son into the world, and so He sent us in John 17 back into that world, and so that's another way to please Him. So if you really just look at the things that please God, the things that honor God, that's the way we please Him, and that's the way, as Jonathan Edwards says, I desire to win for myself as much happiness in the life to come that's possible. We need to make, that was one of his resolutions, and we need to get up every day and say that, what can I do today to win for myself as much happiness as is possible in the life to come?
Well, listen, if you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Pastor Philip DeCourcy, senior pastor of Kindred Community Church and the teaching pastor you hear on Know the Truth right here on KLYT. I'll direct you to our website again under the schedule to find Pastor Philip. Click on it, and you can listen to today's message anytime. You can also contact the ministry, and I would close with this. Pastor Philip, perhaps someone's been listening and they want that relationship with Christ. Do you want to speak to them directly? Any final words, or even pray with them?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a simple statement I repeat many, many times at our church. If you want to be saved, then put your faith where God put your sin. And God put your sin on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died the just for the unjust. He was the Lamb of God who bore the sin of the world. And that's where God put my sin, on His spotless Son of God, where Christ made complete atonement for my sin. And if we'll put our faith where God put our sin, then we will receive forgiveness, we'll be accepted by God, and we'll have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'd say to anyone listening today, if you haven't done that, bow your head and bow your heart before God, confess your sin before Him, confess your love for His Son, because God expressed His love to you in His Son, and confess your desire to live a life for Him. And to believers, I'd challenge you to set your affection on things above and let heaven and the thought of heaven and the theology of heaven drive your discipleship and excite your evangelism. I have a friend, quickly, called H.B. Charles, African-American expositor. He tells the story of a pastor who got kicked out of his church. And he goes to his office and he packs his bags, and this faithful deacon, who was not part of the rebellion, follows him out to the car lot. And he says, "Pastor, what are you going to do? How are you going to do?" And he says, "It's okay, I'm going to heaven." And the deacon says, "Well, I know you're going to heaven, but what are you going to do next? What are you going to do? You have no job. What's next for you?" And he says, "It's okay, I'm going to heaven." And then the penny drops. And that's the mindset we need to have, Steve. Whether we're facing cancer, whether we've got enemies who persecute us for the gospel, whether we're walking through a deep, dark valley, it's okay. We're going to heaven, and all the sorrows and all the challenges of this life will disappear in a flash when we're 1 second the other side of eternity. So to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ, can I say that as we close? It's okay. You're going to heaven.
Amen. Well, the book is Life After Life, exploring the Bible's wonderful promises about heaven and eternity from Pastor Philip DeCourcy. Pastor Philip, honored and privileged. Thank you so much for the encouragement today. And we look forward to hearing more from you sometime soon.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks to all our friends in Albuquerque. God bless.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.